Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
It is Monday, and welcome in. We appreciate all of you being here for another week. Been a busy month so far, so who knows what today will bring. Thanks so much for making time for us. Let's get straight to some headlines since we last saw you over the weekend. We've opened up Pandora's box. That's what college coaches were saying the other day in Nashville at the coaches convention. The calendar is totally upside down, according to most of them. The portal, remember, opened in early December. That was for everyone who didn't lose a coach. Bowl games, early signing period, and then don't forget there's another signing period here in a couple of weeks. And then the portal opens again in late April. What is going on in Gainesville? The Jaden Rashada recruitment apparently has reared its ugly neck and has created an investigation into the program. We have been and will continue to cooperate with the NCAA, according to the school. We hold ourselves to high standards of excellence and integrity on and off the field because we follow NCAA policies about maintaining confidentiality. We are unable to offer additional comments. We all learned a great deal in that statement, didn't we? According to Michael McCann in Sportico, the NCAA is trying to learn how not to lose in court. Forget about Congress. That's the least of their concerns, although that's what you hear from literally everyone that talks about the issue. We'll talk to Michael a little bit later on. Jesse Simonton on the mess that is college sports. Matt Baker on the UF investigation and McCann later on. Your call straight ahead at 855-242-7285. Plenty of time for you to get on this afternoon. And let's begin with Will, who is in North Carolina. Hey, Will.
Hey, Paul. How much hot cocoa did you and Randy go through this weekend with the chilly temps?
Yeah, we never left, in fact. Yeah, we just sat here and watched the snow come down.
Paul, I've been thinking about this question all weekend. I think it's a great question. Get your thinking cap on. Which teams or schools so far have, I know it's kind of a sick question, what teams do you think is Ohio State or Georgia or who's benefited the most from Nick Saban retiring through the
Well, I think so far it's pretty easy. I don't think this is going to be the important answer, but right now Ohio State has picked up his best quarterback moving forward and his best defensive player on last year's team. I think ultimately, though, Georgia probably is the biggest beneficiary because Kirby Smart has eliminated the one person he really couldn't be.
All right. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. You ask Legend when he comes on later if the real reason Nick retired is because he saw Nico make his appearance felt in the Orange Bowl. I think that's the real reason.
Good question. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Wendy is in Ohio. Hello, Wendy.
Hey, Paul, what do you think about the Bill O'Brien hire and then the Alabama transfers coming over to Ohio State?
Well, I think O'Brien played a role in Julian Sayin committing or signing. Other than that, I'm not really sure what Ohio State's getting. I mean, he was a disaster. He was a disaster at Alabama, and quite frankly, he wasn't any better with Bill Belichick. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Bobby is in Delaware. Hey, Bobby.
Hi, sir. How are you?
We are doing great.
I've been trying for 4 years to get a hold of you, and I feel I have quite a few things to tell you.
Okay.
My love for football started out when my dad was the one of the great all-stars of Alabama in Mobile when he was professional baseball player, and then went on to the major leagues to play second base for Philadelphia Athletics, Kansas City Athletics, and Pittsburgh Pirates. But my love for the SEC is what I'm calling about. I don't like any particular team. I love all of them, and I would rather see games played SEC versus SEC instead of, I think to quote you, the Blind Sisters of the Poor in Iowa, and games such as Massachusetts and University of Louisiana Monroe, I think are just giveaway games, and I would rather see those games now that the expansion of the clubs of Texas and Oklahoma, we have an opportunity to have not only the greatest conference in college football, but using the NIL or whatever it's called, we have players that are next in line, as they say. And I don't believe that you should have so many open dates, and open dates including playing the likes of Vanderbilt and also like the University of Massachusetts and other teams. I really would like to know, please, sir, why can't we, with all the
Well, let me try to explain,
players.
Bobby. Thank you for checking in. Right now, there's 8 conference games. There was a move to make the 9, and it was stalled. Will it come back? I don't know. Most people thought it would, but there's going to be a reluctance from a number of SEC schools to want to play 9 games because the competition is so fierce. And you may enjoy it, but coaches don't, because they all want to have winning records and they all want to go to bowl games and be in contention. So that is a big issue, yet to be determined. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Lou is in Los Angeles. Hello, Lou.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit, get your opinion on Ohio State. Is it as big as a dumpster fire as it looks? I mean, first they ran an 11-1 quarterback out of town. Now they brought in a new AD, who I believe brought in Bill O'Brien. I believe it was his hire. And now taking away play calling from Ryan Day. I mean, I realize they're spending a lot of money and bringing in studs, but didn't he do that at Texas A&M, the new AD?
Well, first of all, the new AD did not hire Bill O'Brien. That was Ryan Day who made that decision because he felt he needed somebody to help him out. Ryan Day's under some pressure, and the best way to calm everyone down is to get somebody who knows how to call plays, which O'Brien does. As far as Ohio State being a dumpster fire, it's not a dumpster fire because right now it has just picked up 3 of the best players in the portal. Junkins from Ole Miss, who was a premier running back. Caleb Downs, one of the best players in the country at defensive back. And the third part of that is Julian Sayin, the quarterback who had already enrolled at Alabama. So Ryan Day will very likely have the number one team in the country next year. The pressure will be on. Can he deal with it is the one thing I cannot answer right now. We'll take a short break. We have more to come, more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and we're back right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and a couple of guests will start dropping by in a minute. How about some more calls? How about Dwayne in Louisiana?
Hey, what's going on, Paul? How you doing?
We are doing great.
Hey, Paul, I'm calling for an investigation up there in Ohio State.
Yes, sir.
What you think? We need an investigation going on up there, huh?
I don't think they need an investigation into anything. That's a great school.
But you're getting that money out like that to them players, man. How you going to get three players and get them bought $13 million?
Huh? I don't know. Who said it's $13
million? Lane Kiffin.
He didn't say that. He just tweeted an article saying that. I liked how Lane, who didn't want to ruffle any waters, seems like he can't put his phone down, can he?
I know that. You see that? Lane Kiffin telling the truth, too. I believe Lane Kiffin, they're getting about $13 million up there.
Well, what do you think Lane's last bid for Junkins was?
$60,000?
Probably right.
I don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about this right quick. Hey, why you ask that man, the Alabama coach, if he lose two games, they'd be calling for his head.
Come on now. Do you really think that was a good question for me to ask him?
Yeah. Why not? He's taking over the legend. Hey, he's taking over one of the greatest coaches in
the I want this guy to make it to media days, okay?
Yeah, you sure do.
I don't want this guy to know how things are really in Alabama.
Hey, Paul, when y'all go down to, y'all be going to Destin, Florida for the SEC?
Yeah, we'll be there.
And, ask him then. You ask that same question. Look, the fans want to know if you lose two games, you got to pack your bag, huh?
You say that, but your guy lost three games this year. Nobody ran Brian Kelly off, did they?
Hey, but we expect that. He just got there. Yeah, we expect that out of him. But he's taking over a dynasty down there. They got their players in place down there in Alabama. They're supposed to. But everybody leaving the portal. But he's bringing in players too now. He brought some players in.
I thought you were the one that told me there's not a dime's worth of difference between LSU and Alabama.
Hey, nothing. We better than them now. We got them beat now.
Yeah,
we'll
right.
perform them. We'll perform them.
If you saw DeBoer here the other day, this is not a guy that's going to roll over for Brian Kelly.
Yeah, he is. He's going to roll over like a dead rat. He's going to roll over like a dead rat.
No, he's not. This is a guy that can handle himself.
That man ain't going to handle himself. Hey, you tell him that a battle fan, a lot of people going to shoot that elephant. They're going to be people going to be hanging their elephant on their wall or their tufts. They're going to hang their tucks up.
Thanks, Dwayne. That was really excellent. Dominic is in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing? I hope you had a great weekend.
Thank you, Dominic. What's up?
Did you get a chance to watch that golf tournament yesterday?
You know, I heard a lot about it, and I saw some video of it, but I was watching the football game. I forgot to watch the golf tournament, but the guy from Alabama won it as an amateur, first time since Phil Mickelson in 91.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter about age. A pretty woman once said to me, age is just a number.
Oh, a pretty woman said that to you, Dominic? When was that?
Maybe last year at the beach.
Dominic, you're 12 years old. I mean, why are you meeting pretty women?
I don't know. I'm pretty handsome, Paul.
Okay, so Dominic, I'm assuming that means what? I don't want to put words in your mouth here and have your mom get mad at me.
Oh, she won't. I get all the women. But, Paul, the tide is everywhere. And I don't really care about who's leaving. Tell Julian to have fun trying to catch snaps from McLaughlin. Looks to me like the portal is starting to roll with the tide. Hopefully we can land Muhammad. Like Malachi Moore said, if they ain't wearing crimson, well, Paul, you can finish the rest. Roll damn tide, Paul! See you later, buddy!
You got it, Dominic. Dominic, at 12 years old. Already ready for the Bachelorette. Is it the Bachelor or the Bachelorette? The Bachelor, I'm sorry. So would he be better as The Bachelor or being on The Bachelorette? I don't know. I can go up and down the roster at ESPN and find get a good answer to that. Bash is up next. Now he's going to be on that show anytime soon.
Bash, Brother Paul, that is exactly why I call you Bash, Brother Paul. How was your weekend, sir?
Great, thank you.
It's great to hear. I wanted to ask you if you heard about Jim Harbaugh's second interview with the Atlanta Falcons over the weekend.
Yeah, I just saw that on SportsCenter. Now he's got a second interview with the Chargers. Sounds like he's these NFL folks take their time, don't they?
It seems the ones that are the losing teams take their time, if that's the case.
Yeah.
But the follow-up question I want to ask you, Paul, is let's just say hypothetically he is just entertaining these NFL jobs just like he did last year with my Denver Broncos, was a victim of that, and he ends up coming back to Michigan. Would he, in your estimation, in your rankings, is he, if he comes back to college football next year, the second best college football coach, obviously behind Kirby Smart, or is he?
Well, I think he would be one of the top three or four coaches, but he's not coming back, so I'm not going to lose any sleep or waste any breath talking about it. Thanks for the call. Alan is up next in Georgia. Hello, Alan.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you a couple of questions about NIL and see if you know how the IRS is going to figure into this.
Okay.
Would the NIL money that an athlete gets, would it be considered earned income? It couldn't be considered carried interest, could it?
Of course it will be earned income.
Okay. So now we've got a whole slew of new taxpayers.
That is correct.
Okay. Now, If I wanted to donate $1 million to one of the NIL conglomerates, would I be able to expense that on my income tax?
No.
Would I be able to write that off?
No, I mean, that is not a charitable contribution.
Okay, but now if I give it to the school, I can write it off,
sir.
Right?
Now, by the way, I'm not a tax attorney, but...
I know.
But I'm making a very educated guess.
Okay, so do you know...
Now, by the way, if you want to leave it to me, I will not tell anyone, nor will I claim it, other than to cash the check.
Who would you pass it on to?
Oh, I'll put it in the bank and then give some thought to where I want to give it. You know, it will take me a while to decide. It depends on how much it is. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against the break. We have Jesse Simonton next on the mess that is college football. He was just at the... NCAA Coaches Convention, and we'll chat with him about that coming up next.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We'll be back in just a minute with a guest. Let's grab a couple more calls here. And Roy is in Kansas. Hello, Roy. Good afternoon. Roy, good afternoon. Roy, hope you have a good afternoon. Turtle is up next. Good afternoon to you.
Paul, how much money they got up there in Columbus, Ohio?
They got they have some leftover money, apparently.
This is just getting out of hand, in my opinion.
Okay.
I don't want to see college football go in this direction to where the richest teams can buy their players, essentially. And I just think it's ridiculous. Caleb Downs has no business going there. If he was going to go anywhere, I would understand Georgia. I mean, you might as well go ahead and play for the best defensive mind in college football. But I'm going to go ahead and just ask you what I wanted to ask you, which was about scheduling in the SEC now, because with conference realignment, we got no divisions. And I see that being a potential problem because, I mean, look at Missouri's schedule compared to Georgia.
Yeah,
Georgia's got to go play at Alabama, at Ole Miss, at Texas. So I'm just wondering, how are they coming up with these schedules? Is it random or?
Well, no, it's not random. It was done on a percentage, on a power rating percentage based on, I think, the last 5 years or 10 years, one of the two. And they tried to weight it to help the worst teams the most. But these things are very random. Like Missouri would have been a middle of the packer, and then suddenly they're a contender. So the second part of the schedule for the 1 year only was a balance between the remaining SEC schools. Everyone was going to have to either play Texas or Oklahoma, some at home, some on the road. So I'll offer this again. The SEC is in a quandary right now because when we left Destin, the feeling was last May, 9 games would be happening a year from then, which would be 4 months from now. Right now, nobody knows because the schedule when it came out 3 or 4 weeks ago was so difficult for everyone or almost everyone that there's a lot of pause in trying to protect everybody's franchise. Jesse Simonton is joining us now. He was at the meetings the other day when all the coaches showed up, actually about a week and a half ago, for On3. Always great to talk to somebody who is plugged into college athletics. Jesse, thank you for the time. Your article has some amazing comments from people who were there talking about what a disaster. I can't even use the language on a family show. Good afternoon. Tell us what you learned walking around the hallways and listening to coaches from all over the world.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Paul. I mean, I kind of went to Nashville with the intention of really just positing to both coaches, personnel, staffers, recruiting coordinators, hey, if you get to be college football commissioner for a day, everyone can gripe. It's easy to complain. It's easy to kind of bellyache. But what would be a solution? What would you suggest? And I think finally coaches are kind of admitting that the best avenue for them to solve as many problems, there is no one-all fix-all. We know that. There's too many ills in the sport right now, but the one major solution is to have contracts. Roster value right now is being driven. All these portal decisions are being driven by players basically leveraging one school against the other. And so you could eliminate a lot of that if we just had market value. You want to sign a 1-year contract, a 2-year contract, 3-year contract. Finally, coaches are actually offering solutions. And I think, you know, we're kind of staring at the inevitable, and how fast we get there, I think, is TBD.
Everyone wants to complain. We get that. And I think depending on if your ox is being gored or not, and Jesse, correct me, I've never heard Alabama fans complain about the system until recently. Now they think it's absurd. I'm having Alabama friends say, can you believe what Ohio State's doing? Everyone's doing something. But in terms of what you learned from this convention, What is the likelihood that some of these things are corrected?
Well, I think a lot of coaches are on the record. A lot of the stuff in that piece was off the record, but there are several coaches, you know, Rhett Lashley of SMU, that you know, was straight up and said, what we're doing is not sustainable. Matt Rhule at Nebraska openly admitting, hey, you know, we're a professional sport, essentially, that's not acting like a professional sport. You know, I think the irony, you brought up Alabama there. Hours after I got some of these comments, Nick Saban abruptly retired. And one coach in that piece literally said, the rules, the current transfer portal rules, the current college football calendar in December, where college football is the only sport in America where you're having free agency happening while the season's still going on, it's running coaches out of the league. 4 hours later, Nick Saban retired. Now, you can't exactly draw a straight line there, but I do think that we understand that, you know, what is happening right now with this calendar is completely untenable. It's only going to worsen a year from now, Paul, when we're talking about the college football national championship happening on January 20th. So it just happened. And all this whirlwind of activity is going on at the same time.
And we may not be done with it yet, Jesse, a little bit off of where you were and what you were doing. But if Harbaugh leaves, then we've got Michigan open. And something tells me everybody is already waiting in the wings. I'm curious, though, in talking to people off the record, how does this work? I mean, because we're so used to NCAA rules, which you could laugh at, but they were still in place. I mean, are there any rules in place anymore?
No, well, and no, not really. There are rules, Paul.
Okay.
Technically, there are.
Got it.
You know, technically, NIL, name, image, and likeness is not supposed to be pay for play. These roster value, you know, decisions should not be – basically, that's not what collectives were established to do. Players were supposed to be being rewarded for their name, image, and likeness, and yet it's been more – what can you do for me on the field? Now, again, that's why we are barreling towards these contracts. Ultimately, whether it is revenue sharing, whether the players are going to be deemed employees by either the school or the conference, that's where we're going. I do think it is notable, finally, that I think coaches, and I kind of had this line in my piece, Paul, that coaches are willing to actually give up a piece, as in a piece of the pie, as in money that has been going to them for off-season piece. The fact that, you know, if you have a guy signed to a 3-year deal or a 2-year deal, there's not going to be the constant churn of roster turnover that we're seeing right now.
So, Jesse, easy to complain. Nick Saban may or may not have left because of this, although, you know, combination of his age and disgust. How many more coaches are going to be following him out the door?
If the current landscape continues as is and we don't see dramatic change, I do think you're going to see more and more of these coaches get burned out, especially if things like the early signing period stays at the same time as the transfer portal window, you know, that stays with a crazy college football calendar. The fact that we now have a 12-team playoff, so you're talking 17 games for some teams. I don't think we're long for coaches, you know, coaching like Nick Saban into their 70s. You know, it would be no surprise to me if a guy like Kirby Smart won another couple championships and then said, hey, I'm taking it to the lake. You know, it's been fun, but this is too stressful. And so how quickly we come to solve some of these problems, Paul, I think is going to kind of dictate how long maybe some of these coaches are, you know, still in the business. If we're looking at contracts, if we're looking at a transfer portal that suddenly looks a lot more like an NFL free agency period, if you have a transfer portal combine. Right now, Paul, I think something that's being super under-discussed, yeah, we're seeing a lot of activity with the portal. There's 2,200 kids that entered. There's 1,000 still uncommitted. That's a lot of guys that are just now have, you know, where is their academic standing? Are they going to be able to get a degree? What kind of happens to their careers? There's a lot of guys that are being lost in the shuffle of all this.
So, Jesse, I want you to look ahead a year from now because everything has changed. Not only do we have expansion, but the college football playoff begins, Friday night in December. You got recruiting. Can anything be done before that?
Well, coaches are currently they were voting on some stuff in Nashville at the AFCA convention. There will be continued conversations about moving things like the early signing period. This was not in this piece, but maybe in a follow-up one at On Three, that, you know, there's some discussion. Sonny Dykes and some other guys talked about it afterwards that, hey, let's move the early signing period up to late November. So that would at least eliminate some stress for in December. There's going to have to be conversations, Paul, about the transfer portal window, whether they eliminated it altogether, whether they have one in the spring, as was suggested in my piece, because the college football playoff teams are ultimately going to be penalized for not really being able to participate in the portal next season because they're going to be playing, as we said, all the way until mid-January when the academic calendar comes into play with these schools' drop ad dates. You can't bring players on visits. You can't enroll them into school. So something between this time next year and now has to change for the sport to actually continue as is.
Great stuff. Jesse, thank you very much. Always great to connect with you. We are going to follow this story very closely. We'll take a short break now. More of your phone calls right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
What a question. Top three coaches in CF college football today. I guess that includes Jim Harbaugh, since he's still around for the now, for the time being. Although he's had four interviews with Atlanta and the Chargers from Los Angeles. Let's continue with more phone calls. Zach is in Louisiana. Hello, Zach.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, I just want to say I think the Saban family cult needs the layoff of Ohio State.
Yeah.
And Ohio State I don't think it's Ohio State's problem that Alabama players are leaving because they don't want to play for the team when Nick Saban's not there. And also with the money situation, I mean, Alabama's been paying players like that forever. So, I mean, you can't really talk about how much money they're giving them or anything like that either. I just think it's hypocritical.
Well, but I think the issue is as long as Saban was there, everybody was going to probably cough up more than they really wanted to. But the question is, DeBoer hasn't even had a chance probably to meet too many boosters. He will.
Yeah.
But right now he's trying to get a staff together and bring whatever he can from his team in Washington over to Alabama.
Yeah. Also, Dominic's a real pain in the ass, Paul.
What gave you that idea?
I'm tired of hearing him screeching on the radio every day.
I hear you. Hey, thanks for the call. Fred is up next in Memphis. Hello, Fred.
Hey, Paul, you have a good weekend?
Yes, sir.
Well, with it frozen in over here, I was able to chat with a couple of your compadres, Marty and McGee.
Yeah, by the way, I saw that weather in Memphis. That looked unbelievable.
It was, so I was able to get through to Marty and McGee, and they were having a little review about the just-finished college bowl season.
Right.
And so I gave him a little quiz as to what was the Citrus Bowl before it became the Citrus Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Do you happen to know?
It was the Florida Citrus Bowl. And before that, it was the Tangerine Bowl?
Tangerine Bowl.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm a little interested in the Tangerine Bowl, I think you probably have heard me mention my old hometown of Hopkinsville, better known as Hoptown.
Yes.
Well, just so happens that Murray State College at that time, out of Murray, went down and won the Tangerine Bowl, and just so happened that six of the starters were from Hoptown. And so that got us rolling pretty good with Marty and McGee, and since football season's pretty much over with, we got into discussing basketball, and of course, we had to wait about 4 days without getting any newspapers, and we got a sack full of newspapers today, and there was an interesting article in there. You may know syndicated writer John Marshall with the Associated Press.
Right.
And he was listing some of the top basketball events that's gone on, such as Pistol Pete, Big Bill, all of those, and I had a few questions on that, wondering if they could name, or if you could name, the SEC College Basketball All-Century Team. That would be 1900 through the year 2000.
Obviously, Pete Maravich would be on there.
Right, you got it. Bob Pettit.
Bob Pettit from LSU. I would say Bernard King from Tennessee.
No, we got Dan Issel.
Well, Bernard King's not on there. I'm not going to participate another minute
continue.
Longer.
Okay, we'll cut it off with
so you got
Frank
Dan
Ramsey,
Issel.
Cliff
you got,
Hagan,
well,
and
go
Dan
ahead and give
Issel.
It to me.
Yeah, that's who it is. Pete Maravich, Bob Pettit, Dan Issel, Frank Ramsey, Cliff Hagan. Another good one, what is the all-time home court winning season in the SEC? All-time basketball now. All-time home court winning streak in the SEC.
You're going to have to help me there.
How about 122 straight games won by the University of Kentucky? I'm a little bit partial. My old Wildcats from 1943 through 1955.
I'm glad to say I missed that.
And then more recently, the largest comeback. In
I think I know this one. This would be Kentucky over LSU.
Yeah, what was it?
It was.
I give you 34 points. It was
16
minutes to go in the game. Kentucky was behind by 31 points.
Okay.
And having to
that
pull
was
it out.
Patino versus Dale Brown. I do remember the game.
Yeah, yeah, and the three-point shot was just coming into play then, and of course Dale Brown and his boys are rocking along pretty good. But once you get those three-pointers going in, you can cut a lead pretty fast.
I remember I talked to Dale not long after that. He was.
Did you really?
He was Dale was. I've known Dale since I was in college. In fact, Dale was actually. This is a crazy story here. Dale helped me get my first sports writing job.
Oh, really? Fantastic.
Yes. In Shreveport. Nobody would hire me. I had one offer, then Dale got me another offer, and then I had two offers, one in Tennessee and one in Louisiana. And for the life of me, I don't know why I took the one farther away from where I was, but I will tell you this without getting into a long story. It changed my life because I'd have stayed in Tennessee. There's no telling what would have happened to me.
No. You're a winner anywhere you go.
I don't know about my career, but my personal life would have been different. You can count on that.
Well, I just had a nice chat with Marty and McGee, and as a matter of fact, they kind of indicated they might be interested in me calling back because I've got
some
other.
That's a great show on Saturday morning, and Fred, it's always a pleasure, even though your trivia questions always stump me. Thanks for the call. Tony is in Alabama. Hello, Tony. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul, it's good to hear your show every day. And
thank you.
Enjoy your guest, like the previous man that just called. I've heard him before, and he's always got something interesting to say. My basketball memory was Pete Maravich hit a shot from half court, a buzzer. It was at halftime against Alabama years ago. I was in the seventh grade, which is 40 years ago. That was real fun to watch Pete Maravich.
Hey, Tony, I'll tell you a quick story. C.M. Newton told me this once. He said, I was a brilliant coach. He said, the last time we played Pete, we held him to 69 points at Coleman Coliseum. By the way, Alabama won the game, though.
Dale, I think that might have been the game.
Yeah, no,
Dale Brown calculated how many points Pete Maravich would have scored if they had the three-point shot
played. You're right.
And it was quite a number. But anyway, I was just wanting to see if you'd heard of Nick Dunlap and what he did yesterday.
Nick Dunlap. I should have mentioned this earlier, but he's a sophomore at Alabama. He became the first amateur to win a PGA event since 1991 when Phil Mickelson did it. It was $1.5 million prize money. He did not take it. He remained an amateur. But something tells me in today's world of NIL, Nick will make it up. But he is the talk of golf right now. He played in the same group with Justin Thomas, who is probably the most famous Alabama player on tour right now, and he beat Justin by 2 shots.
I enjoyed watching them walk up the 18th hole. But one last thing I want to ask is, do the college football players, or basketball for that matter, do they have any responsibilities other than practicing and doing their weight training?
Oh, sure, absolutely. I mean, when you're on the team, you're under scholarship. That doesn't mean you do it, but you're under an obligation. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.